It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. Our big panel, all-star panel of folks, ought to come and talk about the big issues of the week. The select committee going to begin next week. I'm going to find out the thoughts on, did Nancy Pelosi make the right decision by saying, no, we're not taking these Republican hacks on this committee? Also going to talk about some infrastructure, and the virus is popping back up again. Three states, and we'll figure out, I think we already know which ones those are, but we'll figure out what's going on there. But our all-star panel for today, as we discuss the big issues, I've asked Scott Dworkin of the Democratic Coalition, Sarah Burris of Raw Story, and of course, Rich Ojeda of No Dem Left Behind. Guys, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, boy.
Hey.
So let's start with the big news of the week. Nancy Pelosi said, no, we're not going to take Jim Jordan. We're not going to take Jim Banks. We're not going to have these folks on this committee because, well, quite potentially, they're probably going to be witnesses. I've taken the position. I think it's a mistake. Anybody agree with me?
No.
Nope.
Okay, let's start with you, Rich. Why do you think it was a good idea to throw those folks off?
Well, first and foremost, you know, let's look at Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan is basically, it's said that he actually was one of the ones who gave the reconnaissance tour the day prior. Look at every single panel that Jim Jordan has ever been on, and it's like all he does is try to turn everything into a circus. And I can guarantee you that while everybody else is trying to get to the bottom of what happened, everybody else is trying to find out exactly, you know, who cultivated this, all the stuff, all the details that the American people need to know, Jim Jordan will stand and scream and try to obstruct. There are plenty of people, there are plenty of Republicans that didn't vote to not certify the election that actually have something between their ears that could be mature enough to sit in on there and try to get to the bottom and get the information that the people of America deserve to hear, not these other folks. Nancy Pelosi did the right thing because all they wanted to do was turn this into a circus. And that's why Kevin McCarthy selected those people. So she did absolutely what I believe she had to do.
Scott, your thoughts?
I think that it was a setup because I think McCarthy knew that, well, there's two things here. He sort of knew that there was probably a good chance, but he was calling her bluff and he failed miserably because I'll just say in conversations with different people, it didn't take long for her to decide that he was going to be denied along with Banks. I think there was another one that was an insurrectionist that would have been okay. I thought that McCarthy would have come back with two different picks that were just like far, far right outside of that in response to it. Instead, he's like, I'm kicking my ball and I'm going home. Okay, Kevin, like, go ahead and do that. This is the best scenario for America right now. And the potential written in the bylines and whatnot of, I think, of the potential of Adam Kinzinger being added and other Republicans being added that either supported impeachment or did not vote to overturn the election, because insurrectionists cannot be investigating the insurrection. Do you have Al-Qaeda? Would you take an investigation of Al-Qaeda into 9/11 very seriously? That's what we're looking at here. So this sideshow that they'll have fake little pieces of paper propaganda. I honestly think if he starts his own investigation, we need to investigate that investigation, because that will be linked to Fox News, OAN. There will be some weird lobbying efforts there. So I look forward to whatever, you know, sideshow he's going to try to pull. But when it comes down to it, it's going to be a moment for America next week when heroes like Officer Harry Dunn come out and speak in front of the camera and are able to articulate exactly what happened to them that day. And I've spoken to Harry Dunn for hours, and I can tell you that this is a 6'7", 300-pound dude, and he is forever changed as a human being because of this day. An American hero who spent 18 hours working that day and then came back at 6 a.m. the next day. And without any complaints and everything, obviously he's got longstanding issues now. But I mean, this is ludicrous. And I think that it's going to backfire. with the seriousness of this all, just like it's backfiring with COVID.
Sarah, go ahead. Rip into me now.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to rip into you. I understand why you would want these idiots on there, because it will create a spectacle. It will make Republicans look worse. It will make it look ridiculous. I think it would also gather more attention to it, just out of the absurdity of it. But I think at this point, we really should be serious about this. And I think for, Jordan, it's all his show, right? Like, everything is just about him. It's like what Rich said, this is the, he turns it into a circus, but really it's just all about him and, looking at him and how great he is, and how he's not going to wear a jacket because that's how he rolls. And the thing about Banks that I love is that Pelosi came out and was like, the guy just released a statement blaming Biden for January 6th when Biden wasn't even in office yet. So this guy's too stupid to even come close to the commission. I do think that there are some Republicans who, like Scott said, that are not insurrectionists, people who are trying to do crazy conservatives who probably even sometimes support Donald Trump. And, I trust them more than I ever would any of these people who are just in it for, their own crazy conspiracies that they can spout in, on television when people are watching the hearing.
Rick, Kinzinger, I know people are talking about that, and Kinzinger seems to have his head on his shoulders, right? But I think that one of the reasons why they're kind of not pulling him on there is because they're hoping that the Republican side is going to do right and send decent person people. If it's Kinzinger, the Republicans are going to go, oh, look, Kinzinger and Cheney both, they're not happy. They're not fans of Kevin McCarthy and blah, blah, blah. But I mean, surely there are going to be enough people out there in the Republican Party that can come to this with the intent of actually letting everybody be able to say what needs to be said and get to the bottom of exactly what happened, because that's what needs to happen. We cannot allow this to happen again. And if we ignore it, it's going to.
I also think that, sorry, Scott. I was also going to say, I also think that Pelosi is giving them so many chances, so that it makes it very clear that she gave everybody all the chances that there were. Like, she tried everything to make this a serious thing. Colbert, actually, the way that he described it last night was so perfect. He was like, it's like we said, hey, we're going to order some pizza. And you were like, no, I don't want your stupid pizza. I want freedom. And the pizza gets here and they're like, and it's like, I didn't want onions and mushrooms. I wanted fascism and pepperoni. And so it's like, we ordered the stupid pizza when you said you didn't want it, and now the pizza's here and you're complaining about it, right?
Yep.
That's a very simple way that I explained it to my parents last night, and they were like, oh, that makes sense. So there you go.
No, because they had the opportunity to vote for the committee, the commission. They could have. They could have avoided all this. You could have had a nonpartisan commission. I'm with you. They could have done this. But in my view, this was highly predictable. In fact, I predicted it the week before that McCarthy was going to do just this, and that the want was going to be to throw them off. And then you end up creating two separate things. And I'll be honest, I think the Republican megaphone is much bigger. And I'm already hearing the messaging from my, somewhat Republican Trump supporters going, see, you can't trust those Democrats. They're going to do what they want. They're going to abuse their power. And I'm afraid that is the frame. Now, what I would have loved to have seen, Liz Cheney go after Jim Jordan and explain to people what she said to him on the day of the insurrection. I think you've made these people martyrs. I think you're going to give them too much power by kicking them off. I would have rather you had them there and mock them every time they said something stupid.
Don't think that Nancy Pelosi thought about that? I'm kind of in the thoughts of McCarthy's playing checkers and she's a grandmaster chess champion.
Yeah.
I really believe that. I believe that she knew exactly what Kevin McCarthy was going to do. And
look, if a dump truck driver knows what he's going to do, I hope the Speaker of the House knows what she's going to do. Because I said there's no way Jim Jordan isn't on this.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And that's what I'm saying. I believe that she knew they were going to do this. And I think that they're playing into her hand.
We actually.
The thing is, though, go ahead.
We expected much much worse. We even expected a Marjorie Taylor Greene kind of level, even Marjorie herself. And so, like, that, the fact that they didn't do that, it seems sort of methodical, where he's like, well, these will probably be acceptable to her. Like, I think he was trying, sort of, but then he threw in Jim Jordan as a last minute kind of grenade to the whole idea. And he was just like, oh, you know what? It's okay. Like, these are my legit, you know, choices. He's been in Congress forever, blah, 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 blah. No, he's been in enough committees, as Rich said, like, where he's just destroyed things. I think this is going to be a moment in history where we're able to not be distracted. And I think that the seriousness will set in, and the sideshow, nobody will pay attention to that. Like, only like 20% of the country, but 80% of the country will focus on the facts, and they won't be able to call the witnesses, not the same level. They won't be able to have subpoena power. They won't be able to do the same things. It won't have the same power at all. I mean, we're talking about hearing after hearing after hearing after hearing for months and months and months. This is not something where they can take lightly. They're not going to be able to have the prosecutorial power. They're not going to have the staff power. If they are using staff power for that, they could be investigated for crossing lines, because it's considered a campaign event and not an actual congressional investigatory committee. So there's a lot of negatives here, but most of all, like, we've had that before, Rick. We've had the let's let them talk on their side. Let's let them have their clown show. Let's call them out on that. And I think it's good to try something different. But to be clear, Speaker Pelosi didn't deny anything in reality. It was Mr. McCarthy who denied it for himself, because he chose people that she had to deny. And I think it's McCarthy's own fault. If he chose three other people who did not vote to overturn the election, there would have been no way for her to deny them.
Yeah, see, I'm going to struggle with that one. I'm going to struggle with that argument, because you knew Jim Jordan was going to be there. He's their attack dog. There was no way he was not going to be. I think it'd be from their side, it would be political malpractice to not put him on there. So I'm going to disagree with you on that.
I think Donald Trump actually demanded that Jordan be on the panel. Like, McCarthy went to meet with Trump at Bedminster and had a whole conversation about this. And it was in the actual press that this is what they were talking about. So, you know, how much of these people were part of that conversation? I guarantee you that Jordan was one of them.
So yeah. Now, how does this go forward then? If you don't have the Republicans being involved, what do you then get, Scott?
Be involved.
I think they're going to have to go back and find some Republicans that are going to participate in this. Liz Cheney's going to participate, even if it's just her. And if they had to, I guarantee you they could get Adam Kinzinger to be on it as well. Mm-hmm. But it's going to go forward. It's going to take place.
What if they all Republicans came forward at once, the rest of them, like a group of folks who are like, I want to contribute to this committee. I want to be on this committee. But they did it together, and it's not just one by one. That'd be strength in numbers. What I think is going to happen, I think this is going to be the committee, and it's going to roll into next week, and people will realize how serious this is when they have police officers testifying, and this mm-hmm. whole kind of like clown show circus that they want to have, they won't actually be able to do, because their ringmaster, ringleader, head joker, or whatever, Donald Trump, is not the person who's the leader of the party really anymore, and nobody listens to a word he has to say. Nobody legit. So I think it's a big, big difference. It's a big mistake on McCarthy's fault. He should have just replaced the picks. Only replacing two picks, that would have been no problem. So I just don't see, it was a bad decision, just like it was a bad decision to not pass the commission, just like it was a bad decision to keep on calling her bluff and keep on pushing this back and trying to stall and stall and stall. And now we've had enough, and people are vaccinated and they're not. So they're scrambling in every way possible, in every imaginable way.
So if Jordan did anything, he did, I think, tip the hand of where they were going. And mm-hmm. you know where the messaging is going. This is Nancy Pelosi's fault. This is the Sergeant of Arms' fault. This is going to be the Capitol Police fault. And who's in charge of the Capitol Police? The Democrats. We know that's going to be the argument that they're going to put forth. Let's start with you, Rich. Does that hold any water, you think?
I mean, they're going to do what they're going to do. We know what they're going to do. But at the end of the day, you know, this is going to give the American people the ability to hear from Capitol police officers. You know, they're going to have the ability to bring some of these people and actually question them. I mean, you can't lie to these panels. They're going to bring Jim Jordan and sit him on there. There's no doubt they're going to bring these folks. There and have them sit down and talk about why did you give a tour the day prior and those things. So I think that this is going to allow the people of this country to be able to know exactly what took place, to know how, you know, they cultivated these people. These people showed up to a rally wearing combat gear, wearing ballistic helmets, carrying bear mace, you know, having zip tie handcuffs. You don't go to anything like that unless you know that something is getting ready to pop off. And they knew it because they were all told that was going to happen. So I want it to come out. I want everybody to be able to see it. And I believe that this is probably going to be watched more than any Super Bowl that has ever took place, because everybody in this country, I think, is interested to be able to find out the facts of what really happened.
Lord, I hope so.
No, and that's where I go. I hope so. I hope Nancy Pelosi did the right thing. I hope this doesn't become, well, this is a partisan hearing. This isn't, you know, they're not being cross-examined. They're not bringing alternative to anything. I fear that's what comes out of this more than the stories that we know you're going to talk about and that are important, like you're talking with the officer, Scott.
It's an American hearing. It's a hearing about American terror.
Yeah, I like that high-minded thought, but in the real world, we're still a very polarized country.
Right.
Yeah, but you know what?
Go ahead.
But, you know, let me think about this, though. I hate to say it, but at the end of the day, we like to think that everybody in Washington, D.C. happens to be a highly intelligent person. We would like to think. I mean, Lauren Boebert has absolutely thrown that out the window. But you know, Kevin McCarthy and those people are still betting on Donald Trump. That right there alone tells me that they're not tracking. They're not that damn smart. You know, and I'm telling you right now, I just happen to believe that Nancy Pelosi is absolutely far more intelligent than what these people are. And at the end of the day, they're playing into her hand.
I am hoping.
Already they're talking about other Republicans, not just Kinzinger and Cheney being on the commission, but like she's bringing back, what's his name, Denver Riggleman from Virginia, the Republican who was beat in a primary or was beat by a Democrat. Anyway, he's a Republican from Virginia. They're bringing him in as like a, not a witness, but like a consultant. I think that she's going to bring in a bunch of Republicans to talk about this stuff. Obviously, you know, Jeff Flake isn't going to be that person because because Biden just appointed him to be an ambassador to Turkey, which just seems like the worst job ever. But yeah.
There you go. All right. Well, we're going to find out and we'll see how this plays out. It's going to begin next week. And I'm certain next week, this is something we're certainly going to be talking about. And this decision is something that we will bang around, I'm certain, over the next several weeks. I'm going to take a quick break right here. Stick around through the break. We're right back after this. Stick around. You listen to the Rick Smith Show.
Smith Show.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1877. That was the day some of the worst violence of the Great Railroad Strike erupted in Pittsburgh. The strike started days earlier. It's contested as to whether it began in Martinsburg, West Virginia, or Baltimore, Maryland. The strike spread rapidly along the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad to New York State, Pennsylvania, and throughout the Midwest. At its height, the Great Railroad Strike involved well over 100,000 workers. The strike began on the Pennsylvania Railroad on the 19th. Management repeatedly tried to move trains through the yards and was confronted by angry strikers. Pennsylvania guardsmen were called out. The strikers presented the railroad with their demands. They wanted an end to double-engine trains that required fewer workers, wages reinstated, reinstatement for their fired co-workers, and an end to pay grades. local militia sided with the strikers and refused to show for duty. When thousands of strikers gathered at the depot, the Pennsylvania National Guard moved unsuccessfully to disperse them. Then they fired on the strikers, killing 20 and wounding 29. The strikers were infuriated by the deadly aggression and drove guardsmen into a nearby railroad roundhouse. Word spread quickly throughout the city of the massacre, launching a virtual general strike. Workers began seizing arms wherever they could find them. They set fires to dozens of railroad buildings, burned down the Union Depot, destroyed over 100 locomotives, and more than 1,000 freight and passenger cars. The next day, guardsmen shot their way out of the roundhouse, killing 20 more as they were chased from the city. A total of 3,000 federal troops would be necessary to quell strikers' fury by month's end. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So this week, the bipartisan infrastructure bill did not make it past the cloture vote. And no surprising, there had been a couple of Republicans who asked for more time. You had Rob Portman saying, too soon, we got more to do. I have a lot of friends who are, kind of freaked out. I'm a little not thrilled. I'd like this to go a lot faster because it needs to get done. But I understand these things take time. Still a little in the mindset of, we should just ram this through reconciliation, get what we need, start building as soon as possible. But it is what it is. And yesterday, Joe Biden came out and said that he's against eliminating the filibuster. He believes that it would throw the Congress into chaos and that we would absolutely get nothing done. Here to share some thoughts on the infrastructure bill and the president's comments, I've got our all-star panel, Sarah Burris of Raw Story, Scott Dworkin of the Democratic Coalition, and, of course, Rich Ojeda of No Dem Left Behind. Let's start with you, Sarah. Can't do it. Can't get rid of the filibuster. It would throw the entire Congress into chaos.
I think Joe Biden is just saying that because he's talked with all of the Democrats that are against getting rid of the filibuster, and he realizes there aren't the votes to do it. And so it's basically like, I have to find out where my people are going so I can run in front of them and lead them. I think that's kind of where he is on the filibuster thing. In terms of the actual infrastructure bill, I don't understand why we're letting them slow walk this, because it's not as if they're going to vote for it anyway. I mean, they're going to basically go through all this stuff and be like, oh, this is great, and we want this, and we want this. And then when the vote actually comes up, they're not going to vote for it. So it's why? Why are we doing this then?
No, I'm right there with you. Rich, you're shaking your head. You're agreeing.
Well, first off, I also think about the whole thing in reference to the filibuster piece is that, the Democrats don't really have very much control. They're right now on a narrow, lead. And I think that, they also worry that if the filibuster is gone, then if the Republicans ever do take back power, they're going to force feed us things that are going to absolutely make it to where this country will only be able to rise from the ashes after it burns to the ground. And I believe that. And I believe that no matter what, just like Sarah said, this infrastructure is important. We need it. Our roads, our bridges, everything. We need broadband. There's so much stuff that we need in this country. But the Republicans are not going to allow the Democrats to get that done if they can stop it in any way, shape, or fashion. They're going to sit here. They're going to continue dragging their feet. And at the end of the day, not one of them will vote for it, because they have to go into 2022 and 2024 with the message of the Democrats got nothing done. Now, they're not going to say they got nothing done because we voted against everything they wanted. They're just going to say the Democrats didn't get it done. Now you need to let us Republicans take over, because we will. And that's going to be their message. And that's the fight. And we know that's what they're doing. The problem is a lot of people aren't paying attention to this. Right. Everybody out there who should be paying attention to politics, which is every single adult in the United States of America, should already be looking at this, knowing exactly what the Republicans are doing, and know that exactly when the time comes, they're all going to vote. I bet you they won't be not one single Republican vote for the infrastructure package.
But we're told this is bipartisan, Rich. I mean, we're supposed to get to those. We're supposed to get those 10 Republicans who are going to get us past cloture so we can get this hard infrastructure, the stuff that we all agree on.
it's never going to happen. And if you got 10, if you got 10 Republicans willing to go to your side, Manchin will go against you. Because why? Because that's who he is. He's an oxygen thief.
It's going to be like where if you had the 10 Republicans that agree to get you through cloture, it's going to be because they were like, you know, they got something that is going to be built in their district.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a total pork kind of a situation.
Yeah, but isn't that how it's always been done?
It's the way it should be done. It's like, here, take all of this free money. But to be fair, I mean, this is the thing we've been talking about, is that every single state needs something fixed. So, you know, there are people like Lindsey Graham in South Carolina, which I think it was last year they were, or the year before, they were voted the worst state in the country for the roads that they have. And so the state actually came together and decided, okay, we're going to do a gas tax and we're going to raise all this money and fix everything. And they calculated out like $4.6 billion is what it's going to cost. And so I'm sure South Carolina would be like, yes, please give us some of your federal money. I don't understand why Republicans think that this doesn't pull well. It doesn't, everything is going to look great to Americans. At the same time, you've got people doing TikTok videos excited about their checks from for the child tax credit. You've got people who were so excited about their Biden money from the stimulus. People don't forget this stuff. So I don't understand why Republicans think that they're going to win on this.
Oh, no, I do understand. They don't want to give Biden the win. Rich, go.
West Virginia is 50th in daggone in our roads. We are 50th. And I'm going to tell you right now, every one of our Republican, our three House members, Shelley Moore Capito, they're going to all vote against it. And like I said, you know, Joe Manchin will count the votes to make sure it's not going to work. And then he'll vote for the Democrats and act like he was a good old boy.
Scott, jump in there.
The use of the filibuster as an excuse is the most pathetic, spineless, nonsensical route that I've ever seen ever. It is not in the Constitution. It is not something that's extremely important in this given instance. It is a roadblock. And people who are using it as a roadblock right now, we're going to look back and see them as the cowards that they actually are. This is an actual disgusting moment in history. And I am so sick and tired of everybody using the filibuster because it's a fancy word and people don't look into what it actually entails. It is people blocking legislation and using stupid rules to do so. And Americans are not going to be stupid enough to not figure that out. I mean, I'm really sick of people trying to make excuses so that we can't actually proceed with developing this country. And so I think that, you know, again, it's going to be a turning point that connects with all the investigations that are going on. They're going to have to come on board with this because people are going to be sick of this madness. And I don't know who exactly is like, oh, you know what? Let's block everything. Like who's like no money to this state? No, like who is that person behind the scenes? Because it's not like they don't like spending money. They wasted a ton of money on Donald. They wasted a ton of money, whatever he wants, whatever. And if it were Donald saying it, you know, they go forward 100% with this infrastructure bill. And that says everything.
Well, Donald did say it every week for 4 years. Mm-hmm. We had infrastructure week all the time. We had tons of photo ops. My favorite one is him playing with the trucks. I still love mm-hmm. that. But we didn't actually get anything done. And it's purely political. You know this as much as anyone. The Republicans don't want the Democrats to get a win because they know what we've been saying is true. If you get a sizable piece of legislation pushed through that's going to give people jobs, going to rebuild their infrastructure so their cars aren't being banged to you know what, they're going to be happy. And happy voters generally stick with the incumbents.
And the truth is that needs to be the message in terms of future elections here. You know, we know the Republicans are going to continue screaming their same thing, you know, God, gays, guns and stuff like that. But I mean, you know, people need to start talking about, you know what, that bridge that needs fixed, that school that needs fixed, the fact that your kids have to go sit in a daggone McDonald's parking lot to get connectivity to do any homework. Those right there need to be the issues. And you know what? The Democrats need to be the ones that are laying that stuff out, because the Republicans are not. They're going to stick with their same garbage that they stick constantly. I mean, Madison Cawthorn is now talking about they're going to go door to door for shots and they're going to come and take your Bibles. Really? I mean, goodness gracious. I wish that guy would roll down a flight of stairs.
Ouch. That's a little harsh.
I don't care.
As long as you're not behind him pushing it.
No, did you hear what he said? No, no. This Cawthorn guy is making up stories about how Anthony Fauci is out there. You know, basically he's deep state now or something along those lines. And it's on that Jenna Ellis show, which is not a real show. I don't exactly know what's going on there, but everything about it is just absolutely awful. And the fact that these people have voices at all is disgusting. So, you know, I just think that people who go off this deep end, they're never going to be able to come back from it. And people will wake up and they will realize after we get this cloud of COVID, people keep on forgetting. Most people are still home. Most people are still scared to go outside and still scared to travel and still tentative about everything, especially with the Delta variant. So I just don't see that changing anytime soon. So they can live in that fantasy world. The Trump people can still live in this, oh, he's still president kind of world. That is going to be shock and awe when people come to reality and grips with reality that, oh, you know what? All this stuff that I've gotten, all this support I've gotten for the pandemic, it is going to be Democrats' jobs to remind them it was us who got that, and you would have gotten a dime, you would have gotten any help, and we would have had twice the amount of death. God, we probably would have had three or four times the amount of death if Donald was still president, because his only plan for vaccines was having a competitive bargaining sort of agreement where it was like every state could bid on vaccines. And not even that, he didn't even build that out. It basically was nothing. And what I was told is that at least there was nothing so that they didn't have to clean up a gigantic mess, because they didn't have a mess to clean up, except for the vaccines that they let get destroyed, the millions and millions of vaccines that sat there, the doses that sat there, and how they couldn't even count the vaccines because it was like 1 1/4 dose or something like that in each vial. And they ruined that too, because they were giving people full shot. It didn't make any sense. They don't make any sense. And I think people are sick of it, and you're going to see that energy, because we have the energy because we're vaccinated and we're loud and we're not going to take it anymore. Sorry.
No, it's good, Sarah. Sorry. You wanted to jump in there.
And I don't know about, I don't know about you guys, but not only am I not going to take it anymore, and I'm just as mad as you are, if we end up having to go back in quarantine, I mean, just the fact that we're going to have to wear masks again, because these idiots won't get vaccinated, that pisses me off.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you there are a whole lot of people around the country who are like, I did all of the right things and y'all are screwing it up for us. Like, are making it so terrible for all of us now.
Yeah, I'm trying to fly to Europe on August the 1st. They've already canceled my return flight. I've been planning this trip for literally over a year now, and because of this, you know, I mean, It's just absolutely sickening.
Yeah, I got a speaking gig in October in Alaska, and I'm not sure. We bought tickets, and I'm not sure I'm going to eat them or not, because you've got the same thing. Back to the infrastructure thing, because a lot has been put on the Republicans for not coming along, but there's also some fear that AOC and the squad are going to tank this because they don't believe it's enough. Is that a let's start with you, Scott. Is that something you see possible?
No. I think that they'll use their negotiating positions. One of the reasons why it gets any progressive bend in it at all is because of them. So I think they are in negotiations. They are in on the mix, and they are drawing lines where they're saying, you know, I'm not going to support this legislation unless this goes this far. They know how to negotiate. They know how to have good faith negotiations. At the same time, they know they're not going to just get everything that they want. Because that's just not how it works in Congress. So they can come to the middle of the road with people on that. I don't think I wouldn't fear that. I would fear if I'm trying to, you know, cede too much to Republicans, you're going to be called out for it. And then it's going to have to be adjusted accordingly. But I just don't. They're not pariahs against the United States of America. They're not enemies of the state. And so, like, they're not going to negotiate in bad faith. And I think that's the major difference, is you can have long talks with Republicans going into the night for hours and hours and waste dozens of hours of your time to talk about this commission, and people look you straight in the eye and say, we're going to move forward with this commission on it. And then they are liars. They're pathological liars. You can't make deals with liars, but you can with honest people like AOC, Tlaib, and everybody else who's in the squad. I'm not actually sure who's the member of it now, but I would say that progressives in Congress, they do have a bargaining chip, and you know, they control a lot of what goes on in Congress. It just is a middle of the road kind of thing, because there are moderate Democrats and there are some Republicans, who, one or two, that support us once in a blue moon.
Yeah, and ultimately, you don't want to end up just getting the hard infrastructure stuff done and none of the social infrastructure that we desperately need as well. I mean, you know, there's some really great things that they want to move forward on, like, you know, college, you know, community college for every American student, healthcare. There's a bunch of things, you know, paying home health aides to keep people in their home. There's a lot of really good stuff in there. That's been long overdue. Sarah, let's go to you, because you're someone who, you know, I remember you talking about your grandfather and how much time, energy, and resource you spent to help take care of him. Wouldn't it have been so much easier if you had a federal government who said, you know what, we're gonna relieve that burden off of you, we're gonna actually help people?
Yeah, and I feel like I was really lucky, because I worked for a progressive company that every time I was like, crap, I gotta take Pops to the doctor, what do I do? And my boss is like, you're good, we'll cover, don't worry about it. Every time I had to rush home on a, you know, flight at the last minute, my boss was like, don't worry, we got it, you know. And I was really, this was even before we unionized. We didn't unionize until what, like 3 years ago. And so I feel like I've been really lucky, but nobody else has that unless they're, you know, unionized or working for a progressive company. And I looked at, you know, the email from the White House today that had the, you know, blocks of all of the things. And I'm just like, you know, you just want to reply with a screen cap of it and just be like, thank you guys. You saw me. And so that part of it just really gets to me. And I know that, you know, there are some other problems, obviously, in the country. And I look at people like Jim Inhofe, who, actually, I think it was last month, he was bragging about money that he was bringing from transportation that he brought to Oklahoma. And he and all the Republicans are taking all of this money from the DOT and doing all this press around it and talking about all of these great things that they did. And I'm just like, then why are you not supporting more of this? You know, there, and Jim Inhofe has given this whole spiel about, you know, well, green energy is going to kill the oil industry in Oklahoma and all of that stuff. And it's like, dude, the oil industry is already dead. I don't know if you noticed, but all these people don't have jobs right now. And if Joe Biden wants to train people to work on windmills or train people to work on, like, we have a plumber shortage in Oklahoma right now. After the huge floods that we had, people's basements are filled with water and they can't find a plumber anywhere. It's really crazy, because there's just not, there are all of these jobs that are available and nobody trained to do it. And so this idea of it being, you know, just about roads and bridges and infrastructure that's physical rather than educational and people infrastructure, it just doesn't make any sense. You really have to do both. Otherwise, you know, it's like you can't do the two at the same time, because people aren't even experienced enough to do the jobs that would need to be done for all of these infrastructure, all of these programs and, yep, and bridges and things that we're building.
No, we got a lot of work to do. And for me, the quicker this gets done, the quicker we get shovels in the grounds and hard hats on the ground, the better I think we're all going to be. I'm going to take a quick break. On the other side, can talk a little bit about the increase in the virus, the states that are struggling or, well, predictably being hit right now. We'll talk about that on the other side. Quick break, right back. Stick around.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1878. That was the day that a new song was introduced to the U.S. labor movement. Reverend Jesse H. Jones set the lyrics of a poem that had been written by I.G. Blanchard more than a decade earlier. The song was called The 8-Hour Day. The fight for 8 hours had become one of the central causes of labor. In 1850, the average work week was 70 hours. This meant that workers had little time for anything else beside their daily toil.
After the Civil War, calls for the 8-hour day gained momentum. It became a movement that united workers from different workplaces and backgrounds. 8-hour leagues were formed in cities across the nation. They hosted talks and rallies to spread the word about the need to shorten the work week. At rallies, protesters waved 8-hour banners. They also sang the song that became their anthem. The first verse boldly began, "We mean to make things over. We are tired of toil for naught, with but bare enough to live upon, and never an hour for thought. We want to feel the sunshine. We want to smell the flowers. We are sure that God has willed it, and we mean to have 8 hours. We're summoning our forces from the shipyard, shop, and mill. 8 hours for work, 8 hours for rest, 8 hours for what we will." The 8-Hour Day song continues to be reimagined today, including this version by Rhythm Fest. Labor History in 2, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So we're now seeing the number of people infected with the Delta variant rising and rising quite rapidly. In fact, three states now account for 40%. That's right. Three states now account for 40% of all of the new coronavirus cases. And guess who? What states leading the pack? That's right. Florida out ahead. Missouri and Texas right there pulling up the rear. Gee, the states that are saying, "Oh no, you don't need no mask. We're not going to help. We're not going to allow local municipalities or entities to have mandates. No, no. We're just going to power right through." At a time where Philadelphia is now saying they're recommending people wear masks indoors. I'm waiting for that to be something that they mandate. But Ron DeSantis, or as some of the folks tell me, Death Santis, he's saying, nope, they're not going back. They're powering right through, no matter how many people go. And here to share some thoughts on, well, where we're going, our all-star panel, Sarah Burris of Raw Story, Scott Dworkin of the Democratic Coalition, and Rich Ojeda of No Dem Left Behind. So, Sarah, let's start with you. We're not going back. We're powering right through, no matter what.
You talked about the 40%. One of the statistics, though, is that 20% of those is Florida. So, like, half of that 40% is Florida, where Texas and Missouri make up the rest of it. I guarantee you, Arkansas is not far behind. If you look at the graph of where a lot of these are happening, some of that southern portion of Missouri is now starting to bleed into northern Arkansas, and now Oklahoma is seeing a huge uptick as well, because stupid people. And we talked before about it, like, this pisses me off because I do not want to have to deal with the stupid mask and all of the COVID restrictions, and I'm sick of being in my house and not going and doing anything. And at some point it's going to start getting cold and dark again, and I want to be out in the world. Yep. I want to go travel. I want to go do things. And I guarantee you the rest of the world is feeling the exact same thing. So these idiots who are making this even worse. And now I guess in Texas, they have the Lambda variant, which is a whole new thing. So this is their fault. All of these people, these stupid anti-vaxxers, this is their fault.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. But here's the thing. Stupid people win stupid prizes. And as we're finding out, the ones who are unvaccinated, those are the ones who are getting sick. Those are the ones who are in the ICUs. Those are the ones who are dying. Rich, do we care?
Well, first off, you know, it's kind of hard. But you now see that Fox News and these organizations are now they're changing their tune. And here's something that you got to think about. And I saw this and I listened to a person talk about this the other day. You know, let's take Florida. Florida lost, like, what so far? Over 60,000 citizens in Florida have died from the coronavirus. You have to honestly say that the majority of these people that are anti-vaxxers are also Republican. I'm going to go ahead and just say that. So let me say, if you got 10,000 people from this town that have died, and out of those 10,000 people, 8,500 of them were Republican voters, you know, maybe that's one of the reasons why the Republicans are starting to turn, you know, the narrative around, because they're realizing that the people that are they're losing are their own supporters. But I'm telling you, I think it's absolutely, it's really hurts to think that we've come this far and now we're seeing us slip back into it. I mean, you know, you shouldn't have to look and have to be told to get vaccinated. 98 to 99% of the people that are dying today and being put on ventilators are unvaccinated people. Children are dying. If a child dies because mommy and daddy doesn't want to get their child vaccinated, they should be held accountable for that. If a person goes to the hospital and spends 6 damn weeks in a hospital on a ventilator, the insurance companies, who I hate, by the way, should have the ability to say, the vaccine was free. You knew all about it. You chose not to. So we're not going to pay your electric bills, not electric bills, but your medical bills. Those are the kind of things that needs to happen. But people need to get vaccinated. You know, it's absolutely sickening that we have people in this country to this day that could be so stupid to sit here and watch a global pandemic that is killing people from all over. I live in Logan County, West Virginia. I mean, hell, we've lost people in my hometown to COVID. It's hitting everywhere. So nobody has an excuse to play that game. You know, all of these people that are screaming, you know, the Fauci, ouchie, they were vaccinated before all of us were. You know, I hope that Fox News and them are going to be able to be held accountable for this, because I want to see them sued out of existence. But this is sickening. We're back where we were in the beginning. The last day that I was in Los Angeles, the very next day, they went back to masks. It's happening all over, and it's like, you know, stupidity is taking us right back to the beginning.
Yeah, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. But, Scott, you know, the thing that's interesting to me is I'm watching the Fox News. I'm watching Sean Hannity. I'm watching, you know, a lot of these conservative mouthpieces who have been against the vaccine, who have been saying it's a hoax, now coming around. I'm watching this evolution to where eventually in a couple of months, it's going to be that they were always for it. And somehow it was the Democrats who did all this. That's how the message shift is going to happen, because it's their MO.
Yeah. Lawyers are pretty convincing. Lawsuits are pretty convincing. I've already spoken to families that are planning to file suits against Fox News directly related to their loved one's death. A lot of people that were older that, you know, would cite to their family in text messages, phone calls, and other evidence that they presented that make it clear that, oh, well, you know, Hannity said this last night. Well, Tucker said this last night. It's clear that, you know, Fox News tells me this. And you know, they cite that as a reason, and they take that, oh, I don't need to wear a mask because they said so. And they're supposed to, they're presenting themselves as news, even though they're not. I think these lawsuits, they know that these lawsuits are going to be damaging in every way, not just monetarily, but like to their programming, to everything that they're up to. They're going to be known as a pariah. And also, you know, it's going to be their own people. So it's going to be people who had followed them and listened to them that are suing them. So it's going to be I guess one of the things that we need to think about also is that what's worse in these Republican governor-led states, they're lying about the numbers, especially in Florida and Texas. They're still lying about the numbers there. They're playing down the numbers, acting like, oh, it wasn't actually COVID. COVID was a side effect, and it was heart disease. Like, they're trying to reclassify them. And also, political pressure is on hospitals to do so. So the numbers are much worse, much, much, much worse than we see. We need vaccine mandates. We need vaccine passports. We need people to listen to science, and we need to drown out disinformation that is killing people. And we have a responsibility to do so. It doesn't matter if it's popular. It doesn't matter what people say. Quit your whining, shut up, and go away. If you have a problem, then you stay inside, you stay home, and you don't leave, because you shouldn't be allowed in public. You shouldn't be allowed anywhere if you don't get this vaccine, because you're killing people. You're a murderer, and you need to stop. So screw your feelings and your unhinged Marjorie Taylor Greene YouTube videos. Do whatever it takes to save lives. Period.
Sarah, to you, I'm watching some of the anti-vax people taking on the mantra of my choice, my body. Kind of interesting that now they've come around to this.
I love it, because every time I see somebody say that online, I'm like, thank you. I welcome you to the pro-choice movement. And That has been the most fun thing ever, seeing all of these Republicans and all of these right-wing show hosts, you know, preach this idea. Or even, you know, if they're not saying the My Body, My Choice thing, they're talking about the whole thing about HIPAA and how, you know, HIPAA somehow protects me from ever being asked about my vaccine status, which is totally not what it does. But this idea that we now can't ask you, or Ron DeSantis trying to block vaccine passports from cruise ships. I mean, all of these things are really coming home. They're chickens that are coming home to roost. The Norwegian cruise line that DeSantis told that to, they're like, you know, if you do this, we're just leaving, right? Like, we're not going to locate in Florida anymore. And so now it's coming down to the state losing money, the state losing business. And again, like, you can, these numbers are not, they're trying to hide it, but it's not hard to see the reality. If you just look at how many people died in 2017, 2018, 2019, and then compare it to 2020, you know, average those guys out and then compare it to 2020 and 2021, you see the increase, you know what it is. And it's easy to be able to say, this is your fault. We can draw the line.
We've lost a year off of the life expectancy.
Year and a half.
Yeah.
Year and a half.
Yep. Which, I mean, let's be honest, some of that is the COVID-15 too.
Yeah. So this week, the other big news was Dr. Anthony Fauci fired back at Rand Paul. In a great way. I mean, I looked at him, you know, good for you, man. Good for you saying, you know, telling Paul he doesn't know what he's talking about and saying it officially. Officially, you don't know what you're talking about in a very pointed way. And I'm like, good on you. I love that. But what was expected is, you know, Rand Paul is going to try and get him, you know, in a twist. And you find out that he's going to send a letter to the Department of Justice to investigate him. I still think it was a great thing. Let's start with you, Rich. What do you think of Fauci's statement?
First off, I thought it was awesome. I would like to get Rand Paul drunk and drop him off at his neighbor's house. That's what I would really love to do. I thought it was hilarious. I think it's awesome. I like it that Dr. Fauci is snapping back at him. I mean, you know, he's nothing. He's like a Jim Jordan, you know, in the Senate. And it's embarrassing. It's a waste of our time. You know, it amazes me how these people can try to attack somebody who has literally been the subject matter expert on, you know, infectious diseases, worked for the last 7 presidents, and now all of a sudden he doesn't know anything. You know, we don't want your Fauci ouchie. Oh, by the way, that Fauci ouchie is basically the cure to what has killed 625,000 Americans and over 4 million people across the globe. You know, it is what it is.
Why is she in Congress?
Exactly.
Why is Lauren Boebert any? Well, she shouldn't even be allowed to take the tour.
No, 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 she shouldn't.
Scott,
spell Congress. Okay.
I have problems with people attacking Dr. Fauci in this point in time specifically. If you do so again, you're an anti-American scumbag, the biggest scum on the planet, like it's not even the worst kind of terrorist. Like you are a person who's trying to dissemble the United States of America from within. And so keep your mouth shut. We don't want to hear from you because you have nothing to say because you don't have a brain. If you're attacking Dr. Fauci, you don't understand what's happening right now. And that you want to live in La La Land, then go live in La La Land and not America. You're not welcome here. That's how I feel.
Go lick all the doorknobs you want.
do we see the potential of, as this grows, because, you know, there's, I'm looking at the numbers and what they're saying is if you got, you know, the Moderna or the Pfizer shot, you're pretty well, you might get, you know, the different variants, but you're probably going to get through it because overwhelmingly the majority of people who are dying and having really negative consequences are the unvaccinated. I just kind of want to finish up in this spot. You know, isn't this one of those things that the natural selection, this is how you thin the herd. And maybe this is how you get people going, hey, maybe we should try and protect her. Isn't that the common sense position?
No, this is when you get the government to do your job. It doesn't matter if it's popular or not. You do what you do to save lives. You do whatever it takes to save lives. You say, I don't care if you're against this or not. This will save lives, period. So go get your vaccine, period. And that's your job as government. It's not job to be comfortable and popular. It doesn't matter. This is your time to make unpopular decisions with your own base to save their lives for their own damn good.
Rich, are you okay with the idea because what I'm getting from you is we're going to be forcibly vaccinating people. Rich, are you okay with that?
Well, you know, seven people died when people, I guess, you know, messed around with the Tylenol bottle back many years ago. And of course, now you have to, you know, pretty much have to shoot the lid off to be able to get to your pills these days. You know, what was it? One person, an actress, drove under a daggone tractor trailer. And because of that, now there's a bar at the back of every tractor trailer to where you can't go under. I mean, at the end of the day, 625,000 Americans have lost their lives. We have countless people who have basically went through with the virus and it has affected them in some way for the rest of their lives. Look, there comes a time when you have to say, look, we've got to do something. We've got to stop this. And you know what? Here's the thing. Now new variants are coming out and we can get in front of this, but it's at the point where we're going to have to make it happen. We're going to have to make people do the right thing, because if we let them come up with the right thing, most of them won't. And especially when they're listening to things like Fox News and things like that, they're not going to do what's right. Sometimes our government needs to take a stand. In the military, we fight for democracy, but we don't practice it. You get your ass in line and you get your shot.
And yet 44% of active duty soldiers are vaccinated, just 44.
Well, that has to be because of the vaccine in terms of it being where it needs to be. Because I'll tell you right now, I can remember many times when we got in lines and you had both your sleeves rolled up and a cheek sticking out. They didn't tell us what we was getting. We just got hammered with them needles. You want to go, you get stationed in Korea, you got to get the, anthrax cycle. You got to go through that. You know, I'm just telling you. I mean, I've ate so many daggone malaria pills, you name it, I've ate it all. I've lived off of hydrochloroquine forever, you know. And guess what? I wasn't allowed to not take it. I had to take it.
So you, with the hydroxychloroquine, you were protected from the virus.
Yeah, from malaria.
Last question I've got. You know, as we look forward to the week ahead, obviously, the news is going to be all about the select committee. Real quick, what are we expecting to see? Rich, let's start with you.
I think we're going to get to hear some amazing testimony from some of these Capitol Police. And of course, I think that when they finally call forward people like Lauren Boebert, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Jim Jordan, we're going to see them act like complete asses. But that's okay. I think that's expected, and they're going to absolutely do exactly what everyone expects: be an ass.
There you go, Sarah. Throw in there.
I think the one thing that I want is these guys have seen so much horror and so much sadness. I really want the country to rally around them. I want them to feel the love of the country and make sure that they know that they're not alone and that we're with them, fighting right along beside them, and make sure that, you know, this is really unnerving. Sitting in front of the well of members of Congress is not an easy thing to do.
Yep.
So I think it's important that we all get out there and tweet about them and say thanks.
There you go. Scott, you got the last word.
I think the return to seriousness is next week, decency, and the descent of Trump into an abyss. Like, I want to remind people that the insurrection is lost, we won, and next week we'll be the biggest reminder of that of all.
There you go. Scott, I appreciate the time. Rich, thanks so much. Sarah, thanks so much. Hope, folks, I'll take a look at Raw Story. Sarah, one of our favorite reporters there. Scott Dworkin of the Democratic Coalition, and Rich Ojeda, no Dem left behind. Guys, thanks so much.
Get vaccinated.
Airborne.
There you go. If you missed any of today's program, you can always find that at therickSmithShow.com. Questions, comments, something in your mind, you can email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. I want to hear what you think. If there are topics, issues, things you want to hear about in the future, by all means, send us an email and we will get to them. If something we said got under your skin, made you unnerved, I most certainly want to hear about that. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. At rick@thericksmithshow.com. Until next time, this has been The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.